Look at verse number one where the Bible read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says that we need to transform and renew our minds, okay, and not be conformed to this world. Why? So that we can prove what is good according to God, okay? What's acceptable according to God? What is God like? What's perfect in the sight of God? How does God think about this particular situation? You know, there are a lot of different topics and issues where there's varying viewpoints, but you know, the only opinion that really matters is God, okay? And how does God feel about a particular issue? What does God truly want? Well, I'm going to throw out a word. How about the word gay? How does God feel about this word? How does he feel about this issue? You know, there's people who describe themselves as gay, and even in fact in the dictionary, it'll say that it's a homosexual or it's some kind of sexual deviant or whatever. But you know, the definition of the word gay, you know, for hundreds of years has been lighthearted and carefree. The synonyms were cheerful, cheery, merry, jolly, lighthearted, mindful, jovial, glad, happy, bright, in good spirits, in high spirits, joyful. Then why are these homosexuals describing themselves as gay? Because, you know, the world wants you to believe that. The world wants you to believe that that's what these people are like. You know what? We need to renew our minds this morning with the Word of God. Go, if you would, to Judges chapter number 19. Judges chapter number 19. Let's see if the Bible matches this description for these type of people. Because the world's trying to constantly tell us how happy these people are, and how merry, and how cheerful, and how wonderful they are. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. Let's not be conformed to their image. Let's be renewed by the Bible this morning. And look, we might have visitors this morning. We might have people that don't already feel exactly the same way as I do on this issue. But why don't you just let the Bible be your opinion this morning? Why don't you just say, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter how I feel about this situation. I'm just going to see what does the Bible have to say, and let's let the Bible speak for itself this morning. Look at Judges chapter 19, verse 2. It says, and his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto his father's house in Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her, and to bring her again, having a servant with him, and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. So what happens? Well, there's a man of Bethlehem, Judah. He has a concubine, according to the Bible, and the concubine is adulterous. She goes and plays the whore against this particular man. You say, what's a concubine? Well, a concubine, simply, if you just take that word, it just means one whom you lie with, okay? So we could liken this unto maybe like a live-in girlfriend or something similar to that. But according to the Bible, it still would refer to the man as her husband. So that's some kind of a lesser, not as legal type of marriage type situation that they're in. But she plays the whore against him. She commits adultery against him. But even despite her adultery, he still wants to dwell with her. So he goes and chases after her and wants to bring her back unto himself, go back to their home. Well, on their journey back, we're not going to cover this whole chapter. But, you know, it says that the man, he's taking his concubine back home. And instead of going into a city of the Jebusites, which is actually Jerusalem, which was not, you know, under the children of Israel's authority at that time, they decide they want to travel into Gibeah. So they want to go into the Benjamites, one of their cities. But when they go into the city, no man will lodge them. Nobody is going to take them in. And look at verse number 20. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, and only lodge not in the street. So an old man comes in who's not actually an inhabitant of the city. He's just a sojourner. He just happens to live there. He's not really from this town. He's not native to this area. But he's coming in. He's saying, hey, why don't you just lodge with me? Don't lodge in the street. Like, that's not an acceptable place for you to lodge. Look at verse 21. So he brought him into his house and gave him provender unto the asses. And they washed their feet and did eat and drink. So you say, what's wrong with this story? You know, is it just the whore? Well, it gets a lot worse. But we see this guy, he's just going, he's traveling, some guy's putting him up. You say, hey, this has turned out to be a pretty good story. You know, they've reconciled, you know, happily ever after. Well, let's keep reading. Look at verse 22. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. You know what? They have their opportunity when they're streets. But you know what? They wait until the dark, don't they? They wait until the dark, and then they beset the house, these sons of Belial. Say, who's sons of Belial? Well, Belial is a false god, and it's ultimately representing the devil. So when the Bible says the sons of Belial, it's talking about the sons of the devil. And isn't it interesting? This is the first time we meet children of the devil in the Bible. The first time you ever meet a son of the devil, a son of Belial, okay? It's right here, and this son of Belial, the first time it's mentioned, you know what he is? He's a sodomite. He wants to do things with men that's unseemly, that's disgusting and gross, and they want to take advantage of this man. It's not even consensual. Isn't that what they always want to say? Oh, all these gay people, they're so consensual and loving and happy and cheerful. This isn't happy. This isn't cheerful. Look at verse 23. And the man, this is talking about the old man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is coming to mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. Now this is horrifying in and of itself. His solution is horrible. It's awful. He's willing to allow his daughter to be taken advantage of by a bunch of men. Not only that, just this woman that's traveling their house. This is awful. But you know what? In his mind, what they wanted to do was still worse. It was way worse than this. This is like one of the worst things I could imagine. Look, I will tear you apart if you touch my daughter and hurt her. And he's offering his daughter. But you know what? He says it's worse. He says it's more vile than that. In his mind, this is so disgusting, so reprehensible. I mean, he would rather his own daughter be defiled than this man. That's how disgusting and gross it is. Look at verse 25. But the men would not hearken to him. So the situation's getting bad. He offers, you know, this secondary option. They don't really like it. And the man that's sojourning, the man of Bethlehem, Judah, he's so nervous, he just takes his woman and just brings him out. Look what it says. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Talk about true love, right? The guy just takes his woman, just have her. That's what you get when you're a concubine. When you're a concubine, when you won't, you know, get with a godly guy that'll put a ring on it first before you lie with him, he doesn't really love you. He loves himself. And whenever push comes to shove, when it's his life versus yours, you know what he's going to do? Yours. He's going to give it over. But you know what? A godly man, he'll lay down his life for his wife. I mean, this guy doesn't even fight. He's not even arguing. He's just like, here, have her. But we see it's still a disgustable, whorish act. I mean, this is just incomprehensible if we saw something today. Look at verse 26. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house. And her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon the ass and the man rose up and gat him in his place. Not only did they take advantage of this woman, not only did they abuse her all night, they end up leaving her dead. She died. Oh, that wasn't that so cheerful of a story? Wasn't that so jovial, lighthearted, and carefree? But that's what the world wants to tell you that these people are like. Hey, they're so loving and kind and happy and fun. That wasn't fun. That wasn't something that I want anybody to have to experience. You know what? It happens all the time. And you know what these sodomites are really like? They're criminals. That was a crime that they committed. That was wicked and detestable. And the Bible teaches that these disgusting freaks are criminals. They're not happy. Go to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. I'm sorry to wake you up with the Bible this morning, but you know what? The Bible does not paint a positive picture for these people. He does not say, oh, they're just so wonderful and loving and kind. You know, why don't Baptist preachers today, it's okay if you disagree with me on certain things, but if you're going to talk about these people, just use the words of the Bible. Just give me the stories from the Bible. Tell me what they're like from the Bible. Why don't you read Judges 19 this morning and 20? Why don't we read Romans 1? Why don't we read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13? The Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So what does the Bible say? The Bible's crystal clear that a man with a man is a death penalty worthy sin. That is how God feels about it. That's how the Bible feels about it. That's how Jesus Christ feels about it. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Word. They say, oh, Jesus Christ loved these people. Well, according to the Bible, he wants them to put to death. That's what the Bible teaches. Right. That's how the Bible feels. He didn't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's focus on that yesterday. You say, how did Jesus feel about them yesterday? Like this. Right. So then how does he feel about them today? Like this. How is he going to feel like them in the future? Like this. It's not changing, my friend. This is how God wants it to be. And in fact, if we just look at secular sources, let's take a quick exit from the Bible and just see what secular sources have to say about these type of people. Because, you know, obviously if you turn on the TV, it'll say they're wonderful, loving, kind, happy. But what about just somebody that's just, you know, unbiased from this type of agenda? They're not even unbiased. The Williams Institute, UCLA School of Law, University of California, okay? It's not really that unbiased, but let's just see what they had to say, okay? They were trying to track how many people that are incarcerated or put in jail or prison are one of these freaks, okay? 9.3% of men in prison and 6.2% of men in jail are these sodomites. Now, you say, that doesn't seem like that much. Well, here's the thing. They're only 3.5% of the population. That means that they're three times more likely to be put in jail if they're a man. Now, let me give you the women's statistics. 42.1% of women in prison are lesbians. 35.7% of women in jail are in prisons. And look, of that 3.5%, it's mostly all dudes. So the percentage of women that are incarcerated when they're a lesbian is astronomically higher. It's not even close. Why? Because these people are perverters, they're criminals, they're wicked. That's what the Bible teaches, and guess what? The secular world says, hey, it's the exact same way. You say, well, why are they in jail? Because they're predators. They're hurting children. Now, I have multiple articles where they do their own self-reporting. They're incarcerated, so they're in prison. They're given full amnesty and anonymity, whatever you say that, from their self-reporting, okay? And they just say, hey, what is all the stuff that you've done? And then they tell them all the stuff that they've done. So this is their own mouth testifying against them, okay? They got like 500 or 600 of these people that are already caught. What all did you do? Tell us, okay? Well, if you just go outside of sodomites, and we just take the general population, when someone is caught either being in the sin or crime of rape or just being an offender, their number of crimes, if they're a sex offender, is 2. That's the average number of crimes, okay? If they're a rapist, there's 7 rapes. So rapists usually rape 7 times. That's why you put them to death the first time, so they don't do it 6 more times, okay? But when it's a sodomite pedophile, okay? This is a pedophile of a sodomite nature attacking children. You know how many crimes they commit? 240 on average. 240. Disgusting. Now, out of their own mouth, they said that only 16% of them did not have a victim that wasn't a child. That's what they're admitting to. They're all pedophiles. And you know, say, what's a pedophile? Like, some people think that a pedophile means you get caught. A pedophile just means you desire that. And look, they all desire children. All of them. Every single one of them. They're all pedophiles. They're all disgusting. They're all worthy of death, according to the Bible. We'll get there. Go to Genesis chapter 19. I'll prove the pedophile connection for you, okay? In 1987, there was another report where they did it. These disgusting sodomite pedophiles, they like to hurt family members and non-family members. Whenever they're hurting family members, if the target was a female, the number of times they hurt this child, okay, when it's a female is 81 times. When it's a male, it's 62 times. So when it's in the family, apparently the females, they get it a little bit worse. But when it's a non-family member, so when any of these predators targets a child that's a non-family member and they get a female, they hurt them 23 times. But when it's a male, so this is like just straight sodomite pedophilia, they hurt the children 281 times. And the number of people that reported, it was 151 of them that did this. That means that 42,000 times have children been hurt by these freaks. How many's enough for you? How many's enough? They're so loving and kind and fun. Look, this isn't the Bible. This is just secular sources saying, look at what these people are doing, what these people are like. Now, they categorize them by their deviant, you know, behavior. So they kind of make it worse, or they figure out what weird stuff they're into and then categorize them by that. So whenever they categorize them into the trans category, the number of times that they hurt children, 670 occurrences. That drag queen story time sounds even worse. 670 occurrences? That's unimaginable. Now, how many kids are they hurting? Okay. Well, whenever it's a female victim, these pedophiles hurt 19.8 females on average. That's unimaginable. How do you hate that many children to say that it's okay for them to exist? But you know, when it's boys, the statistic's mind-blowing. Their average number of victims is 150. 150 victims. These people are, like the Bible says, implacable.
Yeah, right.
How can you sit here and be like, oh, they're so great, they're so wonderful? What did Genesis 19 have to say? Well, look at verse number 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Look, these disgusting predators, they harm everyone and turn them just like them. The Bible says it was everybody in Sodom. You know how that gets that way? You let these predators loose to hurt all these children. The Bible already told us. They're all pedophiles. There wasn't a young child that they didn't hurt in Sodom. The cries of all the children constantly going into the ears of God. It made God so angry that he rained down fire and brimstone on all these perverters of the flesh. He hated these people. He despised them. They're worthy of death. And man wasn't taking care of it. So God says, you know what? I'll take care of it. When man doesn't take care of it, God will take care of it. Go, if you would, to Jude chapter number 1. Now, I don't call them gay because they're not happy. There's nothing good about it. It's not cheery. It's the worst thing imaginable.
Right.
I can't say anything more disgusting this morning than talking about what these freaks are like.
Right.
And now the Bible says it's a shame to even speak of them, of those things which are done of them in secret. So I'm not giving you any graphic details, okay? The Bible gives us enough details. It's hard to even read that and thinking about what's really done. You know what? It's horrifying. So I call them queer. Why queer? Well, look at Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The New Testament says that they're strange. You know what the word queer means? Strange. These people are queer. They're strange. They go after things that are not normal. And the Bible says, you know what, that story in Genesis 19, it's just as relevant today. Just as relevant in the New Testament. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Look, I don't call them gay except on accident. You know what I call them? Faggots.
Amen.
Faggots. You say, why are you using that type of word? That's how I feel about them. But let's let the Bible tell us why we should call them faggots. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. My soul feels vexed every single day in this stupid country that propagates this sodomite agenda. It's disgusting. I hate looking at these trans freaks. I hate looking at these sodomites. They're so disgusting. It's vile. It's filthy. It's reprobate is what the Bible says. And it constantly vexes me. And you know what? I need to preach about it because the Bible told me to preach about it. So we're going to get a couple things off our chest this morning, all right? But they're faggots. You say, why? Well, the Bible says they were condemned into ashes. Meaning what? They were burned up. Now, I'll just read for you in Genesis again. It says, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire. You know the first time the word fire is used? Here. You know the first time brimstone's used in the Bible? Here. Now, let me give you the definition of a faggot, all right? A bundle of sticks or twigs bound together as fuel. Hey, you're just wrapping all these things together, and they're what? For kindling a fire. And that's all a faggot is going to be for, is just kindling the wrath of God, kindling the fires of God on this earth and in the next earth, whenever they're down in the center, burning in hell for all of eternity. Amen. Every single faggot. Look, when you're a sodomite, hey, you're just a bundle ready for hell. That's the only option for you. They're not going to believe in Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 1. Some people are like, don't you want these people to be saved? No, I want my children and your children to be saved from them. Because all they're going to do is hurt and pervert and just tear down society. Every society that's embraced the faggots has been destroyed by itself. All of them. Rome, Pompeii. You know that story you learned about where this volcano just destroys a whole city? You're like, why did that happen? They were Sodom and Gomorrah. They literally loved filth and debauchery and sodomite acts. And God just like, pfft. Why? Because they're a bunch of faggots. They're just kindling wood for fire. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God's wrath in this world is faggots. That's the worst thing imaginable, is even being a faggot. And according to the Bible, that's God's wrath. You say, hey, how could someone do that? How could someone desire that? How could someone want that? Because God has poured his wrath out on these people. I would take any other punishment from God. Don't give me that. Don't give me that desire. And when you see, the only reason someone could do that is because God is punishing them. That's how we see God's wrath on this earth today. We don't actually see the fire and brimstone in hell right now. We can't see that. Maybe a volcano gives us a little bit of an idea. Most of us never seen that. But you see a faggot, you're like, wow, that's the wrath of God right there. That's fire and brimstone. That's a bundle of sticks ready to be burned right there. Look at verse 21. Why are they like that? Well, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Every single faggot hates God. They despise God. They don't want anything to do with God. Now, when we say God, we actually mean the true and living God, the God of the Bible, the King James Bible. These freaks will sometimes say, oh, I love God. And you're like, oh, okay, well, let's read some of God's word. Oh, I don't like that book, though. I don't like Jesus. I don't like Leviticus 20:13. I like the God in my own image, you know, this faggoty picture that some, you know, Renaissance painter painted. I like that guy. Well, that guy's not Jesus, my friend. And that's not the God of the Bible. This is the God of the Bible. Amen. And I like everything that he had to say. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So God gives up on these people. If you hate God, if you don't even want to attain him in your knowledge, if you're taking the truth and you're turning it into a lie, God says, I'm done with you, buddy. Have some wrath. See how wrathful God truly is. He's extremely wrathful. Look at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You say, where do faggots come from? They come from right here. They go down the toilet of God's word, Romans 1 right here, where they hate God, they despise God, they don't want anything to do with him, and then eventually God just flushes them down the toilet, and you know what? They end up doing vile, disgusting things. Nothing is clean on the sewer line underneath your toilet. Nothing. And you know what? Nothing is clean with these freaks. It's all disgusting. It just needs to be flushed down the toilet. That's what these people are like. Talks about how they're filled with all unrighteousness. And it says in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. According to the Bible, in the New Testament, they're worthy of death. Not just Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20, crystal clear. Hey, this verse, crystal clear. They're worthy of death. That is the only viable option for these people. So, I mean, at this point, we could just close our Bible and eat lunch and go home and, you know, try to think on pure things, okay? But here's the problem. Christians defend these freaks every single day. Christians want to bring these God-hating reprobates into their churches. They're defiling everything that's holy and righteous, bringing them into God's house. Go back to Judges chapter 20. You know, it said in Deuteronomy 13, when you deal with these sons of Belial, it says that thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city. He said, don't even take the goods. Their money, their gold, their jewels, everything that looks pleasant in the eyes, bring it in the midst of the city, burn everything. Everything that they touched, burn it. Why? Because it's disgusting, it's defiled, it's damaged. That's how God felt. So whenever this story happens in Judges chapter 19, what do you expect God's people to do? If God's already made it manifest how he feels, you know what they're going to do? They're going to gather together as one man, and they're going to go and burn this city to the ground, like God said to do. But you know what? There's some people that don't like that. Look at verse 12 of chapter 20. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Not only do they have these freaks harbored into their city, whenever they come to put them to death, they say, no, we won't let you put them to death. Not only are they not willing to put them to death, they're going to fight them. They're going to battle for these beasts, for these disgusting, reprobate freaks. And look, there's nothing new under the sun. These were these queerbait Benjamins, queerbait Benjamites. They just want them to be around them. They want to fight for them. They're going to battle for them. You know what? They're trying to attract the queers to their city. Not only are you allowed here, we'll fight for you. They're trying to bring them in and multiply them. It's disgusting. What's a queer bait? It's when you're trying to attract queers. You're trying to bait them into your city by saying, hey, we'll defend you. We'll accept you. Look at verse 35. What does God feel about that? Does God like that attitude? And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamins that day 25,000 and 100 men. All these drew the sword. So whenever these guys say, hey, we're going to defend the queers, we're going to defend the faggots, what does God do? He destroys them all. He leaves like a small remnant that he just allows to exist because they're the tribe of Benjamin for the father's sake, not for their own sake, because they were disgusting, this horrible battle that they're fighting for. You say, what's the title of the sermon? I don't know where we're going. Queerbait Baptists. Good. Hey, didn't we see some queerbait Benjamites? You know what? There's a bunch of queerbait Baptists today too. And we see, how does God feel about it when you start harboring these freaks in your churches? And not only that, you're battling for them. You're fighting for them. You say, there's not Baptists doing that. Just wait. There's a lot of Baptists. It's disgusting. It's horrifying. How could you read all the verses that we read this morning and be like, let's bring those freaks in here? We don't even have 150 children to get molested in here. Why would I want to bring them in here? So they can just hurt every single child in this room? Disgusting. I wish they'd put a bullet in their head. How about this church, Wilshire Baptist Church? It's on Abrams Road in Dallas, Texas. Now, in 2016, this church will grant full membership to LGBT individuals. The congregation decided in a vote that in turn severs ties with the Baptist General Convention of Texas. It says that 61% favorably voted. They let the congregation vote. 61% of their members said yes. And this is a huge church, like thousands of members. 61% voted. There was 948 ballots cast. 577 voted in favor, 367 against. A lot of people like just left when they were starting to do this crap. The motion affirmed that church bylaws provide for one class of membership. Listen to this. Permitting all members to participate in congregational life equally, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity, as it relates to leadership, ordination, baby dedications, and marriage. They're not only going to let fags in the church, they're going to let fags be the leadership. They're going to let faggots dedicate a baby. Are you kidding me? They're going to get them married. This is in your city. I mean, Dallas is right there. I mean, it's just a stone's throw. Now, obviously, when you have this type of wicked doctrine, you're going to have a lot of other weird doctrines. So I look at their doctrinal statement. They have a pretty long doctrinal statement. They don't even mention salvation anywhere in a breath. Nothing about it. Now, they do say that they appeal to the 1963 Baptist Faith and Message, which clearly says you have to turn from all your sins to be saved, which is a wicked false doctrine. Of course they do. But how about just God? I mean, the Bible talked about in Romans 1, they have a God in their own image. They change the truth into a lie. Well, who do they think God is? Well, let me read for you. God is triune. God is one being in three persons, alternatively known as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. That's not terrible. I probably wouldn't word exactly like that. But listen to this. Although traditional biblical language defines the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that language should not be interpreted as preferring masculine images of God. What the hell is that? They're calling God not a man? Hey, even though he's Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit, he's not really male. Disgusting blasphemy. Yeah. Wicked, evil reprobates. Yeah, right. These disgusting perverters. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God is a man. God is masculine. That's a wicked false doctrine. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Let me just help you understand something. God is masculine. Men are made in the image of God. Women are not. Sorry to bust your bubble, but they're not. Let's just get some clear scripture, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. You see that word, but? That's meaning women are not. Women are the image and glory of man. And look, this is not to downgrade women. It's just the reality of who God is. And we ought not pervert God just because we don't like it. These reprobates changing God into some four-footed beast or creeping thing or whatever garbage that they want to make him into. That's disgusting. And of course, they're going to have all this reprobate doctrine going in there. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. When Christ came down from heaven, he wasn't like maybe a man. He was 100% man. That's disgusting. The Bible says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father. And guess what Jesus Christ is? The man, Christ Jesus. You know what God the Father looks like? A man. We were made in his image. Mankind is made in the image of God, but it's specifically talking to men. It's not talking to women. Now, let's learn about this pastor for a second, okay? This pastor, he's been there since 1989, so he's been there for a while. He's a nationally recognized leader among Baptists, not in this church, serving the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, New Baptist Covenant, Duke Divinity School. He has other local and global ecumenical and interfaith endeavors. Oh, how wonderful. He has a Bachelor of Business and Administration degree from the University of Miami, Florida, where he was the quarterback on the football team. Oh, how wonderful. He holds both a Master of Divinity and Doctor of Philosophy degrees from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. That place gets worse by the second. He's a native of New York City. He has three children. His daughter is married to Chris and is an actress in New York City. And look, she's not a good actress. I'm going to spare you the details. It's wicked. This guy is not qualified by any stretch of the imagination. He also came up with this thing called the Pastoral Resident Program, where he just takes people in that are not like pastors or were pastors and then like lets them live there and be a pastor. I don't know what it is. It doesn't make any sense. But he has this guy on his staff called Aaron Coyle Carr. He attended Candler School of Theology at Emory University, earning both a Master of Divinity degree and the John Owen Smith Award for Excellence in Preaching. He is also deeply passionate about ecumenical engagement and has served in Mennonite and Episcopal, as well as other Baptist congregations. They're bringing this guy in to be their pastoral resident. He used to be a Mennonite and an Episcopalian. What in the world? And he wants to engage ecumenical movements. He wants to all come together and be one Mennonite Episcopal Baptist. Just drop the Baptist, my friend. Not only this freak, this pastor, he has this video where he goes to this thing called pub theology. Say, what's pub theology? Well, there's this Episcopalian church here in the area that goes to a literal pub. It's like Trinity Irish Pub, okay? Where they drink beer and talk about the Bible. How cool, how edifying. This guy comes there and he has a beer in his hand, and this is his opening statements, okay? He says, the Baptist preacher has a beer in his hand at a pub talking about the subject of homosexuality, right, with Episcopalian sponsoring this. This is like the kingdom of God. What's not to like about this? How about every single thing? You disgusting pervert, you freak. You're a joke of a Baptist. You need to drop that Baptist name. You're giving Baptist a bad name, you George Mason freak. His associate pastor, Mark Wingfield, he's been invited to do TED Talks. Anybody know what TED Talks are? It's where pretty much only like the left wing, you know, God-hating reprobates get to talk of these things. So I'm shocked this guy gets to go. Here's the title of his talk: The Baptist Pastor and His Transgender Friends. What in the world? He talks about how after this vote where they are letting all these freaks into their church, he started making all kinds of new friends, trans friends. They were calling him and they're saying, is it really true you'll let us into your church? He's like, without hesitation, I was like, please come. Please inviting this trans freak and his wife. He says her wife, but I say his wife. This freak of nature into their church. He says whenever he was making all these new trans freak friends, he figured out that one of these new trans freak friends was one of the guys that went to him to seminary. It's one of his seminary buddies. He's like, hey, you went to seminary, didn't you? Yeah. They share that commonality. How great. These trans freaks. When you read about his profile, this is what the associate pastor is also into. He previously served as assistant scoutmaster for the Boy Scout troop 473. Oh, I'm surprised. He loves Boy Scouts so much. Previously served on the board of the Lake Highlands YMCA also. These guys, I mean, look, and now that they confirm that they have plenty of gay members in their church now. Since 2016, they've been, you know, flooded with all these trans freaks and all these gay faggots. I bet they wouldn't let me come preach this sermon in the morning. Good night. You know what? They're never welcome in the house of God. And that place is a house of iniquity. It's a place for Belial. It's not a place for God. That's disgusting. These queer bait Baptists, they're literally trying to attract queers into their church. And then they're getting up and saying, we're so great because we let these trans freaks into our church. You're not great. You're like those Benjamites. And God's going to destroy you. Right. We're never going to be a queer bait Baptist church. Never. Amen. They're not welcome to even put their foot near my parking lot. Get out. Right. We'll throw you out on the street, right in the middle of traffic. That's where you belong. Go to hell, you freaks. Look, it's going to get worse for Texas, though. You thought that was bad? It's going to get worse. Yep. Dallas is not the only infected area. Austin's way worse. I don't know. It's all the same. It's all disgusting. First Baptist Church, Austin. I mean, this is usually the church that people just go to. Like, the First Baptist Church, usually the biggest church. It says, we're welcoming and affirming. Their diversity statement. We are a Baptist community of faith searching to find various ways to ensure that we are a welcoming congregation of all people, including those who have been wounded and outcast. Therefore, we wish to convey to all people that the First Baptist Church of Austin, Texas, welcomes and wants people of every race, gender, sexual orientation, marital status, age, physical, mental ability, nationality, economic station, to thrive in the full life of our community. They want them to thrive at their church. I want them to go to hell at my church. Amen. How about University Baptist Church in Austin, Texas? Now, when you just go to their website, okay, you can come up and look at this picture, but it's just this huge rainbow flag, just the first page, and it says this, you're safe here, in case there were any questions, in parentheses. There's a lot of questions. You have this garbage flag on your website. Look, you're not safe there. They have, their director of hospitality is an open lesbian. Not only that, the Reverend Stephanie Cooper, so basically their second pastor in charge, okay, and she's preaching sermons every week at this place, mind you, okay? Let's find out about this freak. She has a Master of Divinity at Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. She is currently studying for a Doctor of Ministry at Bright Divinity School. It says she has served churches in Kentucky, Virginia, and Texas, and has also served with AmeriCorps for 3 years. In her free time, Stephanie finds joy hiking, running, camping, and sharing a good local beer with good friends. I'm shocked. She is married to Ashley, and together they raise their German Shepherd. She's their pastor. They have a lesbian pastor getting up and preaching the Bible. How's she doing on Romans 1? How's she doing on Judges 19, where we just read it? And Genesis 19. Teach me the Bible. In fact, I don't want you to do anything. Shut your mouth and go to hell, you freak. This is a Baptist church. These queer bait Baptists. They have them as the female pastor. Look, and guess what? It gets worse for Dallas. Royal Lane Baptist Church. It's at Royal Lane, Dallas, Texas. The address. It's so stupid to name your church after your address. You know, at Faith Word Baptist Church, we were on Southern. So if we named our church after the street, it'd be Southern Baptist Church. I don't want to be affiliated with that at all. This is what they say about Royal Lane. We are a vibrant, welcoming, and affirming mosaic of ethnicities, racial identities, sexual orientations. Let me read to you about their youth minister, Tim Schaefer. Tim began serving Royal Lane as minister to youth on July 1st, 2015. He earned his BA in political science from Boston University and is currently working towards earning his Master of Divinity through Bright Divinity School. That place is a hellhole. That's a whole nother sermon. Tim and his husband, John, were married in December 2014 in Santa Barbara, California. They relocated from Massachusetts to Texas in May of 2015 so that Tim could pursue his theological education. Shortly after relocating to Texas, Tim and John began attending worship at Royal Lane, and they are grateful for the way the congregation has welcomed and affirmed them. The literal youth minister of a Baptist church in Dallas is an open sodomite freak, hurting and perverting children. This pedophile is in charge of all the children. That's why we don't let children leave the sanctuary. We're not going to put them with some pedophile freak behind closed doors to do God knows what. It's a shame to even speak of those things that are done to them in secret. What is the world coming to? Wake up, America. Wake up, Texas. You thought California was wicked? Hey, they're coming here. They're perverting the Baptist churches here. The freaks. The Bible says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Look, there's a bunch of tares amongst the wheat today. Coming in here, perverting. Wake up. What's with all these queer bait Baptists? Bringing them in, putting them in leadership over the children. Look, you say, well, there's at least Baptists fighting against this. You know, they got kicked out of the BGCT. You know, they're so strong. They fight against these people. Okay, well, let me just tell you what the BGCT says. They cut ties with Dallas Royal Lane Baptist Church May 25th due to the congregation's embrace of openly homosexual deacons. So when they finally cross the line for this conference or for this convention, It was when they were finally in leadership. That was the last straw. It says the one-sided vote by the state convention board. So basically, this convention got together. They voted whether or not they should, you know, keep these people in their congregation. The vote was 63-4. Sounds like they need to get rid of four more people. According to the Dallas, I mean, think about it. You really think, even if we just take a new visitor here and said, hey, there's a church ordaining faggots. Should we still have fellowship with them? That's not a hard decision. Oh, I think maybe we should keep them around. Disgusting perverts. Get out of that convention too. It says, you know what? They didn't like it because they had an affirming attitude toward unrepentant homosexuals. So I guess all the ones that come in and say, we're kind of sorry. Well, you can stay. Get out. I don't care if you even just had a thought, get out. I don't even want you around my children. Even if you think that they're kind of cool or nice or friendly, get out. I don't care if you like anything you like about them, get out. Because my children are way too precious. I don't care if everyone leaves this church. My children's safety is more important than me. And you know what? Your children's safety is more important to me. So I'm going to make sure that there's no freaks coming in here perverting your children to the best of my ability. Amen. It's disgusting. This is a quote from one of their, you know, main leaders. I think where we need to draw the line is when they are elected to a leadership position. Leonardo Diaz. Oh, I'm pretty sure. What did the Bible say the line was? Just the fact they have breath. Just throw stones at them. That's what the Bible said. It didn't say, hey, if they become the pastor, then say, that's not right. No, they're not welcome in the church. They're not welcome anywhere around me or my children. They're disgusting. They're freaks. And these queerbait Baptists, they're constantly allowing these freaks into their churches. How about the Southern Baptist Convention? Now, I looked up, you can just type in Yelp, like gay churches, like faggot churches. Okay, and they'll give you the number one faggot church for Fort Worth. The number one. And look, this is not in the scope of Baptist. This is anything. Episcopalian, Catholic, I mean, just any and all options. Okay, the number one most faggot-friendly church in Fort Worth is Broadway Baptist Church. I mean, when you look down the next ones, it's like Unity and like United Methodist. The number one is a Baptist church. And they were kicked out of the SBC in 2009. Well, you know, and if you read the article about it, they're like, well, they're affirming them. We didn't think that was quite right, so we just kind of parted ways, you know, real hardcore. Well, in 2012, this is what the Southern Baptist said. Let's see if they're getting more hardcore or not. Southern Baptists have constantly affirmed our support of the biblical definition of marriage as the exclusive union of one man and one woman. And whereas the scriptures indicate that all sexual behavior outside of marriage is sinful. Oh, man. It's sinful. And resolve that we express our love to those who struggle with same-sex attraction and who are engaged in the homosexual lifestyle. I have no love for these freaks. Disgusting perverts. Resolve, we stand against any form of gay bashing. Faggot. That's not what they said. That's what I'm saying. Gay bashing? Are you kidding me? These Benjamites, they're coming around defending these freaks. Whether disrespectful attitudes, I mean, I don't know what they think about the sermon, hateful rhetoric or hate-incited actions towards persons who engage in acts of homosexuality, you know who they hate? God. Yeah. They hate all of God's words. Go if you went to 1 Kings chapter 15. Let's find another person that the Southern Baptists just said that they are going to stand against. I guess they're going to have to start ripping pages out of their Bible. Gay bashing. Oh, like calling them beasts? Like calling them reprobate? Like calling them filthy? Oh, you're gay bashing. I'm not afraid of that. You can't bash a faggot more to me. It's not possible. I like it. I like all of it. Why? Because we need to wake up today. Amen. The Baptists are letting them in the church. These queerbait Baptists, they're everywhere. All of them. You say all of them? Yeah, we'll get there. 1 Kings chapter 15, look at verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord as David his father, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. You know what the Southern Baptists are saying? We don't like Asa. I like Asa. And God liked Asa. And Asa did that which was right in the sight of God. Amen. You know, these southern bastards, they don't actually love God's word. Let's keep reading their stupid garbage sentence. You know, they really need, the faggots are worthy of death. It says that we affirm that pastors should preach the truth of God's word on human sexuality. Well, amen to that. All the faggots should just go to hell. They should be put to death. Read Romans 1. Read Leviticus 20:13. You know, the Bible says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? How can I have concord? It says, look, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? We already learned, look, the Sodomites were the sons of Belial. How can I have any concord with them? How could I ever let them in my church if I love the Bible? Look, you either love the Bible and you have nothing to do with them, or you hate God's word. That's your choice. There's not a neutral opinion here. The Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. I don't even want to touch them. I don't want to touch anything that they've touched. It's so filthy and diseased. Let's keep reading their stupid statement. We encourage our fellow Southern Baptists to consider how they and their churches might engage in compassionate, redemptive ministry to those who struggle with homosexuality. Why don't they swallow a bullet? That's my ministry for them. It's disgusting. Christ offers forgiveness of sin for those who turn from their sins and believe on Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Look, you don't get the forgiveness of sin from turning from your sins, my friend. Because it's impossible. And look, Sodomites, I hate them not because, you know, their sins are going to send them to hell. It's the fact they won't believe in Jesus Christ. It's the fact they hate Jesus Christ. Some people say, oh, you think some sins are worse than others. Well, of course they are. Of course. But all sin will send you to hell. And we all need to believe in Jesus Christ. But Romans 1 already told us they hate God. They don't want to believe in him. Every Sodomite I've ever ran into, they hate the Bible. They mock the Bible. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They despise his word. They want nothing to do with this church. But you know what? They'll creep into these other fake Baptist churches and they'll pervert all the children in there. That's why I don't like these queerbait Baptists. You know, the Southern Baptist president, J.D. Greer, he said Jesus representing churches will be known as the friends of the LGBT community. No, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He thinks kill them all. Burn them with fire. These disgusting queer freaks. That's what Jesus thinks. Now, I also looked at the 10 most faggoty-friendly churches in Dallas. Number 4 was First Baptist Dallas by Dr. Robert Jeffress. Number 4. Oh, what a great list to be on. And look, the Southern Baptist affirms this church. So how does that work out? Number 9, Prestonwood Baptist Church. And again, this is any possible church, mind you. Baptists are showing up on the tops of these lists. Now, I looked at an article about the Southern Baptists. It says, Praying on Teens. It was written in 2019. Chad Foster, a former firefighter from Missouri, arrived in Texas soon after his divorce and with his 30th birthday fast approaching. He described himself as a fairly new Christian with a history of hard drinking. Now, if someone were to come up to your church with this situation, what do you think would be like the most logical thing to do with him? Well, let's see what they said. He was hired and later ordained as the youth pastor of Houston Second Baptist Church. That's the guy you're going to ordain? One of the largest Southern Baptist churches in the country. This is a quote from him. When I took the job, I didn't know anything about it. Foster preached abstinence and urged teens to sign a contract to save themselves for marriage, but he soon targeted underage girls at the church's Cypress campus for intimate text messages and physical contact. His brief career as youth pastor ended with guilty pleas to 3 counts of sexual assault of a child. I mean, what in the world? They're just inviting these freaks in, ordaining them quickly. Oh, you're a hard drinker that's getting divorced? Why don't you just minister to the kids? I'm sure you'll be great with them. Do you know anything about Baptist or the Bible? None. Perfect. Come right in. We love that here. Why? Because they're a queerbait Baptist. They're bringing all these freaks and pedophiles into their churches. More than 100 Southern Baptists described as former youth pastors or youth ministers are now in prison, registered as sex offenders. Oh, let's join the Southern Baptist Convention. It sounds so great. Disgusting. It's a bunch of queer bait Baptists. They're trying to bring them into their churches, accept them and welcome them, and harboring all these pedophiles, harboring all these freaks. They're being like Benjamin. You know what the children of Israel did? They destroyed Benjamin. They fought against Benjamin. They didn't want anything to do with Benjamin. You say, oh, you're fighting against all these Baptists. You're right, I am. I hate all these Baptists that want to bring in these freaks to their churches, hurting children. I love children. I hate it when children are hurt. It said there was 42,000 occurrences recently of children getting hurt, and they're just bringing them in the church, in God's house, profaning the house of God. You're not right with God if you think that these people should be anywhere around this building. Just get out. I don't want you. You're hurting my church. Go to Judges chapter 21. Look, this isn't a cheerful sermon. This isn't jovial. Why? Because it's not a jovial topic. But you know what? Why don't we renew our minds this morning with God's word? You know, when God gave us these stories, they weren't pleasant. I didn't read Judges 19 and think, wow, that was cool. I thought that was horrifying. That would be terrible to live in a society that was like that. But then you just open your eyes and you realize, oh, wow, it's the Baptist church down the street. They're everywhere. They're in fact, and who's fighting them? I mean, if you go online and you say, who's fighting these freaks? It's the BGCT, the Southern Baptists, and Steadfast Baptist Church. That's it. That's the only people you can find. At least whenever they report on us, they say it true. We want them dead. Anti-LGBT. Yeah, that's right. We are. They're actually welcoming them in their churches still. The only people fighting are still like, well, it's okay. You can come in. You can sit down with your husband and listen to the service and give us your tithe money, of course. But you just can't be the deacon. You know, you just can't be the pastor. Pretty soon they'll change that too. They're so close to that. It's ridiculous. Judges 21, look at verse 5. Because you say, well, you know what? I'm not actively fighting for these faggots. Well, guess what? There's another group of people that are in big trouble. Look at verse 5. And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpe, saying, he shall surely be put to death. Not only did the Benjamites who fought for these faggots, not only they were put to death, you know who else was put to death? All the other Baptists that wouldn't stand up and fight against them. All these queer bait Baptists. You're disgusting. You're ruining our country. I hate it. What does God think? You're worthy of death too. Why aren't all these Baptists standing up and saying these freaks should go back to hell? Go back to the closet. Put a bullet in your head. Why aren't they saying it? God is not pleased with you. Wake up this morning. And look, if you get out of this church and go to some queer bait Baptist church, God is not pleased with you. We're at, it's a war today. They're coming in and infecting your city right now. When you go to the restaurant, there's some faggot that went to some Baptist church at that restaurant with you. You should want the other Baptists to stand up and be a man and say, go to hell, you freak. Get out of here. Go back to California where they birthed you. It's disgusting. Where are all the independent fundamental Baptist churches in this area? Look, there's like hundreds of them. How come we're the only one that you could find any information how we hate faggots? I mean, did we read? How many Bible stories? Are they just skipping Romans 1? Are they just skipping Judges 19? Are they skipping Judges 19? Jude 1? I mean, that's a pretty close to the end of the Bible chapter. 2 Peter chapter 2? Oh, well, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman. Don't hit me. That's not even the issue. Let them get married as they go to hell. I don't care. They're going to be married to the flames of hell forever. A bunch of faggots. It's disgusting. You know, I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church, and the Sunday after gay marriage was like supported and legalized by the Supreme Court, you know what hymn they started with? This is the hymn that we started the church service, God Bless America. And you know what? They sang it. I sure as hell didn't sing that garbage. God Bless America. Filth! They literally are praising faggots getting married, and I have to come here and sing and praise the country that did that? Oh, it's the Independent Fundamental Baptists. They're against this too. No, they're not. They're just like these weak, disgusting Baptists. And you know what? They all go to the same seminaries too. These Independent Fundamental Baptists, whenever they want to get that doctor title, you know where they have to go? They have to go to a Southern Baptist seminary. Because there's not really these Independent Baptist seminaries. They don't really exist. They have like junior Bible college, you know? But these pastors, they couldn't be seen going to the junior Bible college with everybody. So they have to go to the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. You know, they have to go to these really prestigious schools and get their Master of Divinity. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These foolish Baptists embracing these faggots, and it's going to destroy your church. I don't care what you think. This is not going to destroy this church. This sermon is only going to help this church. You don't get discouraged. You get encouraged because we're going to fight this battle. Amen. I'm not backing down. I don't care what faggot comes around here. Throw them out. It's worthy of death. I don't care what they report, what they do. I'm never going to go soft on these freaks. You know why? Because I love children. And if you love children, you'll fight with them too. Don't be like these bad, you know, children of Israel who said, well, I'm just going to stay home. I don't like this kind of preaching. I don't want to go to the battle. I don't want to fight against Benjamin. Well, you just go to the soft, weak, queerbait Baptist church and wait for the transgender to come sit right next to you and say, hey, how's it going? I like your kid's outfit. I want to rip you apart if you say that to me. They'll compliment your children, I promise you. They love children, but they don't. They love to prey and hurt children. That's what they do. If you come into this, you won't have to worry about that freak. Like if someone says that to your children, let me know, I'll throw them out. It's disgusting. How does God feel about them firing brimstone? You know, we should be screaming this from the housetops. Today, it doesn't take, you just like breathe faggots. And like the media comes out of everywhere. They're like, whoa, what did you just say? I mean, they have to be hiding under a bushel, all these other churches. And look, if every Baptist church in this area just stood up and just said, faggots, go to hell, they would all run away screaming. They would all go back to California or Austin. You know, the one little blue dot in Texas or whatever. Their little faggot hole hell. Hell hole. Look, don't be a Jabesh Gilead Baptist. Look, if you leave this church and you go to another fire-breathing church that hates faggots, God bless you. There's not very many people that want to do it. But don't go to one of these queerbait Baptist churches. It's disgusting. God's not going to be pleased with you when you do it. God might just kill you. And you've been warned. He says, is that Bible? That is Bible. He killed the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead because they wouldn't fight the sons of Belial. They didn't join with their brethren and go out and fight them. And God might just destroy all these faggoty queer Baptist churches. You know what? I'm going to renew my mind today with God's word. I'm going to get God's opinions. I'm going to fear God, not mankind. I don't care how many people are going, you know, straight into a bobsled to hell. I don't care if our whole country's going. I'm not going to go. And I'm not going to try and lead you in that direction. I'm going to go the exact opposite direction. You know what? I'm not going to be conformed to the image of Fox News this morning. I'm not going to be conformed to the image of the Baptist Liberal Convention of Texas. Oh, general, I'm sorry. They're so liberal. Oh, it's okay. You know, as long as they're just not, you know, in the leadership. As long as they're not preaching the sermons often. You know, the Southern Bastard Convention. I'm not going to care what they have to say. We got to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God. Go to the last place, love you turn, Mark chapter 8. I want to be washed in the pure words of Jesus Christ. You know, I love the Bible. I love every single chapter, every single verse, every single line, every phrase, all of them. All of it. You know, these other people, they hate God's word. You bring up Leviticus 20:13, oh, I don't want to hear that. Oh, that's Old Testament. Don't quote that to me. I like it. I love it. Maybe we should just put it on our wall. Or get a new church building, maybe put that one on the wall. Everywhere. Just wake some people up. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't like this sermon. Well, Jesus Christ doesn't like you right now. Look, you might disagree with some of my words, but you can't disagree with all those Bible verses I showed you. You can't disagree with God's word. And if you do, God is ashamed of you. God doesn't like you. You say, oh, this country's so different. Yeah, it's adulterous. This world accepts all kinds of filth. Yeah, it's sinful. It's disgusting. I don't want to be anything like it. You know what? I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed of Leviticus chapter number 20. I'm not ashamed of the story of Judges chapter number 19. You know why? Because it's reality. Are you ashamed of God's word this morning? Maybe you need to renew your mind a little bit. And if you watch a bunch of TV, I'm sure you hate this sermon. I can tell the people that don't, you know, the people that don't like this sermon, I know all about you. You love TV, you love movies, you never read your Bible, you've never been to a church that actually preaches hard. Why? It's just obvious. Because you can't read this book, I can't read this book an hour a day for my whole life and come to the same conclusions that these freaks are doing. They have perverted Bibles, they have perverted minds, they're defiled, they're disgusting, they're a bunch of queer bait Baptists, and I want nothing to do with them. You ought to just take the heed right now and say, you know what, I'm never going to a queer bait Baptist church because my children are too important. And my grandchildren are too important. And my, you know, if you actually still love this country even a little bit, please help us fight these disgusting freaks. There's nothing more, you know, disgusting. There's nothing more filthy. Why is it that these Baptists can't stand up and call the most disgusting thing filthy? I mean, there's nothing worse. And they're so afraid to stand up and just say, that's gross. I don't want anything to do with it. They fall all over themselves. We need to love them. I'm going to this independent Fundamental Baptist church. We have to hear God bless America. Then you know what I have to hear? I have to endure a sermon about how I'm supposed to love faggots as the country's going to hell in a handbasket. As the country is promoting filth and sodomy and transgender freaks, well, we got to love these people and bring them in and treat them kind and be nice unto them. Never, never in this church. In fact, I'll be mad at you if you're ever nice to any of them. Whenever you're going soul winning, you can't offend me by being rude to them. If they call me and say, hey, this guy was rude to me, I'm going to think, great, I like this person. This person's getting the message. This person listened to the sermon. This person actually reads the Bible. This person actually loves God. Don't be a queer bait Baptist. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for helping us renew our minds and not be conformed to some dirty, disgusting image, but rather we could look at the perfect, holy, righteous word of God and say, I want to be like that. I just thank you for giving us such strong warning against people that would hurt our children, that would hurt our society, that would hurt this church, so that we could avoid them. It's so easy to identify them. It's so easy to see the wrath of God today. We know that you're a wrathful God, and we thank you for your mercy that you've given unto us through the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would understand the truths of your word so that our families could be protected and that this church could be blessed, and that you would not be angry at this church that we're not fighting enough, but rather we would get in the battle. We would be right there to fight all these Benjamites, all these queer loving faggots, all these sodomite sympathizers. I pray that you would destroy these churches and destroy these false prophets, and they would just go to hell quickly. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.